You know, I stand at the front when I worship, and I don't have eyes in the back of my head, so I can't see what's going on behind me. But I pray, I hope you guys are entering into worship and singing your hearts out to the Lord. I just feel so touched by God when I actually worship the Lord and sing to Him, and I feel that same touch this morning. God is present with us, and He is touching us, and I just hope and pray you are entering in. If you're not, you're the one missing out. If you're not entering in, the only one that's actually hurting is you, because you're not getting that touch from the Lord this morning. My theme, I started this last week, my theme for 2017, and just as a way of a reminder, I'm going to be talking throughout the year about this idea of redigging the wells. We're going to be redigging our spiritual wells and remembering those biblical truths and the spiritual experiences that we've had in the past and then from those that have gone before us, so we know where we've came from. So we're reminded of how awesome it is to believe in the Almighty God and how faithful He is towards us and what we are and who we are as a church. And looking back in church history, there used to be a term, and I think it's coming out in the New Bible Advocate, called sola scriptura. Sola scriptura, Latin for scripture alone. Scripture alone. The early church believed this. They believed in the scripture alone until I think about the 16th century, during which time they started to elevate their tradition, their belief in tradition. And then you started to get these papal bulls and papal briefs, which became almost equal to Scripture. So when the Pope would say something, that was like the Word of God, and they believed it. And it's because of that that they ended up with something called indulgences. How many of you know what indulgences were? How many know of church history at that point? Indulgences were these, it was where you could pay money so that you could get yourself or your family, more importantly to you, if you were alive, you could get you or your family out of purgatory that much quicker. So you didn't have to suffer, and you could just kind of skip all of that and go straight to heaven with God kind of a thing. They would actually pay money because they believed this, because this was a tradition that started being taught. And because it was taught by the Pope and by bishops and others, this became the Word. This became the Word of God to them. But it wasn't, and it isn't. And in great part, the Protestant Reformation was a challenge to these Catholic traditions, like indulgences, that opposed Scripture. It was a challenge to this sort of thing, and it was also a return to this idea of sola scriptura, in the Scripture alone. And so we see, looking back in church history, from the beginning of the Church of God, Scripture held a high position for our church. Published by our founders in 1863, they wrote this: "The Bible and the Bible alone contains the whole moral law, and its precepts are sufficient to govern God's people in every age of the world without the addition of any human creed or article of faith." So friends, know just even from our very beginnings as a church, the Bible and the Bible alone has been our foundation, has been our highest authority in our lives. This book right here, the Bible, the Scripture, we refer to it as Scripture, contains the words of God, the message of God for all peoples written in these pages. We could talk, when we talk about the Word of God, we often refer to Jesus as the Word. But today I wanted to talk to you specifically about the message that are written in this book, that is written in the pages of our Scripture. We're talking about this as the Word of God. We refer to this often as the Word of God. And the Word of God is powerful in our lives. Absolutely important, absolutely powerful, and even more so when it is used by faith. This is powerful, even more when it's used by faith. I want to preach to you today about the impact of God's Word on our faith. Number one, our faith walk, I call it faith walk, our spiritual experience, our faith walk begins by hearing the Word of God. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus is speaking publicly, And as he's speaking publicly, he's interrupted by this woman. This woman calls out and says, "Blessed is the woman that gave you birth and nursed you." And Jesus responds with this. He said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." She's praising the woman that gave him birth. He says, this is more important. This is what is significant in our lives. I'm glad for the woman that gave me birth, but what's even more important, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. It's just a response, but Jesus here points to the importance of our obedience to God's word. Hearing God's word means obedience in Scripture. When you hear God's word, when you study it, when you read it, that idea of hearing the word, it implies obedience. God's idea that if we heard his word, we would then obey it. So Jesus is saying what's important here is to not only hear it, but that you apply it, that you obey it, you put it into your life. How do we obey? What do we obey? Of course, we obey the moral teachings of the Word of God, where the Bible, Ten Commandment kind of stuff, where it's talk about the morals of the Word of God. We obey that. That's what one of the things we want. Where it says, don't do this, well, we don't want to do that. Where it says, do this, we want to do that. We want to put into our lives, be obedient to those moral teachings. How else do we obey? Well, by applying the principles, by faith, the principles that are in Scripture. Principles in the Word of God. Where Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst. And so we read that, we hear that, we want to apply that into our lives. I want to be someone that hungers and thirsts. I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I want to seek God in everything that I do. I want to put that into practice in my own life. I hear the Word. What does Jesus say is so important? Obedience to the word, to put those things into practice in our lives, to actually be responsive to God's truth. He says, blessed are those who hear and keep it. Obedience means blessing. Blessed are they. Obedience means blessing in our lives, blessing to our families. God wants to bless our families. Blessing to our own lives. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. Blessing to your jobs, and ultimately the blessing of eternal life if you are obedient to that truth in the Word of God, the truth of following after Jesus, the truth of putting him into your heart, the truth of confessing him as Lord and Savior. Obedience ultimately means the blessing of eternal life. It is not enough to hear the word. And Jesus makes this absolutely clear. It's not just enough to hear the word, but we must obey it. We must do it. Everybody say the word obey. 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 It's not enough to hear the word. We must obey it. I heard somebody say do it. We need to do it. Just like the Nike slogan, just do it. And this is reiterated in James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22 says this, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." James is speaking in this chapter, he's speaking about the importance of our choices and of our actions, how important those things are as a Christian. And he says here, be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Obedience in Scripture is both a choice and it's an action. We have to make that choice. Yes, I'm going to be obedient to the Word, and then we have to act on that. We have to be obedient to the Scripture. Many hear the Word. Many people read it or they hear the Word and they mentally assent to it. They acknowledge it. Yes, I know that Scripture says that. I know that it says to do that. And they mentally assent to that. But we must go beyond just mental assent. If we just stay on mental assent, we're missing what Jesus is saying. We're missing what James is saying. We got to go beyond that, and we must become a doer of the Word of God. Actually, to be obedient to God's Word. It's kind of like if you're driving in a car and your gas light comes on. and you see that gaslight, but you just keep on driving. You're mentally assenting. I see that gaslight. I see that little red thing on there that says I need gas. But then you just keep on driving down the road. You keep on going. And what's going to happen? You're going to run out of gas because you didn't respond to the gaslight. And we see the same thing with the Word of God. Not only do we assent to it, not only do we hear it, especially true if you're going to church, you don't want to run out of gas on the way to church. We not only hear it, but we obey it. We respond to it. We become a doer of the Word of God. So we hear the Word and we obey. And then, number two, the Word of God will impact your inward spirituality. I'll say that again. As you begin to hear the Word and obey the Word, it will impact your inward spirituality. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. You know, Psalm 119 has 180 verses where that particular psalmist, probably David, wrote all about his love for the Word of God, and he does it over and over again. Oh, how I love your law. Oh, how I love your Word. Oh, how important it is to me. He writes over and over again in that Psalm 119. And so here in verse 105, he says, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Here we begin, here the Word begins to have an impact on our heart. And as it impacts our heart, it impacts our inward spiritual life. We all have a path. We recognize that. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We all have a path. For most of us, it's a biblical path. God shows us in His Word how we are to behave, how we ought to live, what we're to do as a Christian. We have a biblical path. God has showed us how we are to be as a Christian, what we're to be like as a believer. But there's another kind of path too, which is where you have a life path, where God has said, this is the direction I want you to go in life. We have a biblical path and we have a life path. And in the light, it's so easy to see God's path. But in the dark, we need that light to see, right? God's Word is a lamp unto our feet. It is not always easy to see the route we're supposed to go, how we're supposed to be, where God wants us to be. And yet God's Word, it says, is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. It is the light that we need. When we were at Winter Retreat, I heard somebody, Bethel was talking about Winter Retreat a little bit ago. When we were at Winter Retreat, there was a place where you could go have a campfire, and we did these fireside services, and they were really neat. I did a fireside service for the middle schoolers, and it was so much fun. But walking down there and walking back, it was so dark. Unbelievably dark, and they had trees everywhere, and so if you didn't have a flashlight with you, you were going to go right into a tree. It was going to happen. You needed to have a flashlight in that camp when you're headed down to the campfire side, and it was rather a lengthy walk, too. Not huge long, but it was long enough that if you didn't have a flashlight, you would have hit something, and God's Word is like that. We need His light from His Word in our life. If you're not following after His Word, guess what? Life happens. Life happens. You can't see in the dark, but you need His Word to guide your steps, to show you how to live and behave as a believer, to show you where to go, to help you to know what it means to be a Christian and a believer. But how? Well, the psalmist there in 119, he goes on in a number of verses to talk about how God's Word is his meditation. If you have your Bibles, you can see it. There's a couple of verses right there nearby. God's Word is his meditation. What is meditation? Well, there's all kinds of meditation, but when we're talking about biblical meditation, we're talking about focusing on God's Word, thinking about his Word, spending time studying and reading God's Word, even maybe speaking it aloud to yourself, remembering and thinking on his Word to the point where it does what? It gets absorbed into your heart. You're reading it and studying it and speaking it aloud, and that scripture is going to get into your heart. It's going to begin to change you on the inside. It's going to absorb into you, and then you can begin to put it into practice. What happens when you're walking through the darkness in life? What happens when you're going through the storms in life? God can use that word, bring it to remembrance, and help you through those storms. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We hear that word. We mentally assent to that word. But as we begin to absorb that into our heart, and as we are dealing with our jobs, as we are at home, and we have these people we just don't like, God, I just don't like them. You tell me to love for them. But God brings that to your mind again. As you begin to absorb that in your heart, love your enemies. And you got somebody that's just you just don't feel right about them. But what keeps coming up to your mind, that God just keeps bringing to your mind, love your enemies. As you absorb that word in your heart, pray for those who persecute you. That's how that works, as you meditate on God's word. You do this, and guess what? God's word will revive your heart. It'll make you feel alive. The psalmist declares in verse 107, if you have your Bibles, that God's word revived him. It revived him. That God's word revived him, and it can do the same for you and me. It changes your heart. It changes your outlook. As you begin to absorb God's word into your heart, things begin to look just a little bit different. Your whole outlook on your life begins to change just a little bit. You know, what seemed bad doesn't seem so bad anymore. Or what seemed bad, maybe you can see where there's light at the end of the tunnel because you have God's word absorbed into your heart. And God keeps bringing that to your mind and your heart. It's making you alive. You come alive. You feel alive as you begin to absorb God's word into your heart. Hope fills your heart, and you begin to feel revived because of his word. Friends, this makes Christianity exciting. If we can begin to absorb God's word in our heart and it begins to make us alive, it makes Christianity worth everything. It goes from being just a dead religion to you to being an alive religion. It becomes alive in your heart, something you want in your life, something that you maybe previously didn't want before. Suddenly it's alive in your heart because you allowed for God's word to absorb into your heart. How important, how powerful that is. Not only does the word of God impact your inward spirituality, but number three, the word of God impacts our outward spirituality as well. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, you know this one probably by heart. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The writer of Hebrews here, he was talking about how the gospel was preached to them, and also to those that rebelled against God. It was preached to both. He says the word preached did not benefit them, the ones that rebelled against God. It did not benefit them because your Bible says they did not mix the word with faith. They did not add faith to the word. And so here the word preached impacts those that hear it. It has an impact on us. When you hear the word, it impacts you. Here the word begins to impact your outward faith. It digs into your thoughts and to your intents and how we talk and how we behave around others. It begins to cut into that and dig into your thoughts and intents. The Bible has God's word. It is God-breathed. This is God's message for us, God's words to us. This isn't just written by men who were just uninspired, but they were inspired by God. These are God's words for us. Not only that, but Hebrews says it is alive and it is active. In other words, this word is anointed. It will impact you. If you will listen to this word, it will change you. It is alive and active. It is not a dead word. It is a live and active word that will impact and change your life if you allow it to. And even sometimes if you don't allow it to, it will still change and impact your heart. The Word of God divides and judges. It shows us how we're to live and how we're not to live. It shows us what kind of Christian we're supposed to be. And then what does the Spirit of God do? What does God do in your hearts? He begins to convict your hearts and show you where you're not lined up with this book. It divides and judges, separates out how you ought to be and how you ought not to be. And then, of course, like I just said, the Spirit brings conviction and brings change to your heart again and again and again. I love how it talks about the word like a sword. It reminds me of the armor of God. At our midweek service, I talked about the armor of God there a little bit. And I love how it reminds me of that sword of the Spirit. You know the armor of God. Ephesians, I believe, chapter 6, where it talks about the helmet of salvation, where it talks about the shield of faith, where it talks about the breastplate, that body armor of righteousness, where it talks about the belt of truth and those shoes, which are with the preparation, the gospel of peace. And guess what? It talks about the sword of the Spirit. And I love that visual there, the sword of the Spirit. It becomes a weapon in our hands, a weapon we can use against Satan, against the strategies and schemes of the enemy. As he wants to come against you, as he wants to oppose you, this word becomes a tool against the enemy. And I love that picture there. But how do we use it? By agreeing with it. And you can even do what Jesus said and speak it. And of course, all in faith, which begins with believing it. Believing the Word of God. To reiterate, faith comes by hearing the Word, and then we act on the Word. We act on the Word. That's my fourth point today. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, popular scripture, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Paul is here writing about how, in this chapter, he's writing about how we are, through Jesus, how we have righteousness and salvation through Jesus, not by anything that we do, not by our own merits, not by earning it, but all through Jesus. It's through him. It's all by who we believe in, not what we do. We have righteousness and salvation. And here, faith is the key. Faith, which comes from the Word of God. Faith defined simply as believing God's Word. In other words, we trust in God. We trust in what he says. We trust in the word that has been given to us. And by trusting, we believe in it, and then we can act on the word. Faith is dead without the Word of God. Without the Word of God, we don't have that faith. We don't know who we're believing in. We don't know what we're believing in. We're not able to put that belief into action without his word. So where does faith come from? It comes from the Word of God. Yet the Word of God is alive and active. And when we hear it, when we read it, when we study it, when we absorb it into our heart, it comes alive in us and alive in our heart, and it builds our faith. It builds our belief in God. It builds our trust in what he says. It builds our faith. Paul here gives us the importance of faith in the preceding verses about calling on Jesus and believing in Jesus. And he quotes this. He says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good news of good things." How beautiful are those that preach the gospel of peace. Our faith is best used for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're a believer here this morning, and if you have faith this morning, and I hope you have faith this morning, our faith is best used with the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing it, teaching and preaching it, sharing that gospel in our lives, living it out with a bold faith. Preaching the gospel of peace reminds me again of the armor of God, and I'm stuck on that armor. I've been watching a lot of Bible Men lately, I guess. Have you seen those new, they have them at Lifeway, they have those new Bible Men cartoons. My youngest son, absolutely loves those cartoons. So I've watched a lot of Bible Men, so it's on my heart a lot lately. But preaching the gospel of peace reminds me, again, of the armor of God, having our feet fitted with, what does it say, the readiness, my Bible says, the readiness of the gospel of peace. Being ready, being prepared. Your Bible might say preparedness of the gospel of peace. And I love that imagery, and I hope you understand and grasp that imagery. Having our feet ready, it's this idea of we're ready to go. We're ready to tackle whatever is coming our way. We're ready to go share that message of the gospel of peace and being ready to do it. You know, maybe there's people that oppose that message or oppose you, but you're ready to face whatever comes your way. It's a part of that armor of God. You are prepared to share that message, that gospel of peace. An interesting message when you're talking about wearing armor, gospel of peace. What are we to do with our faith? Friends, we are to step out. We are to go. We are to share that gospel. We're to share that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died on the cross for you, that you can have forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that's the ultimate highest thing of using our faith. How powerful the Word of God, which impacts our faith. How powerful it is. There's a hymn called How Firm a Foundation. It's page 6 in your hymn book. And it goes, How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you hath he hath said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. How firm a foundation laid by his excellent word. The Word of God is powerful in our lives, even more so when it is used by faith. Begin to act on God's Word today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.